You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One thing I love about a lot of our listeners at OneOfUs.net is that they've been inspired by what we do to go and create their own podcasts. It's fun, easy, and it's a great way to connect with people. But it can also be a lot of work, to be sure, which is why it's nice to see a little return in the wallet for all the work you put in, of course. And that raises the question, we're just a little show. How in the world do we find someone willing to monetize this audio production? Your answer is here, and it's what OneOfUs.net, amongst tons of other shows, use, podcorn.com. You just sign up for an account, get lists of advertisers willing to pay you to put their ads in your content, decide on what type of ads you want to do, whether they're read by you in your own style, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. Then you just send them a pitch and what your price is per episode, which podcorn.com makes way, like way easy to do. And before you know it, you got those bucks coming in. It's so easy, I'm honestly shocked everyone isn't doing it. We liked it so much, when we saw a chance to do a paid ad for podcorn.com themselves, well, we took it. That's this right here, what you're listening to, in case it wasn't clear. Join podcorn.com and make some money for your podcast. Click the link on the review page to go right to podcorn.com and start making moolah. And thanks to podcorn.com for being our sponsor.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
And after that last Kingsman movie, I was kind of startled they even were gonna make another one.
Surprise! I mean,
everybody likes the first one. I mean, generally speaking, there are those who flat out are like, Matthew Vaughn's just not my thing. And Vaughn has always been one of those directors who's like, gets a hold of like C-list tier IPs and then does some reasonably good stuff with it, you know, like Kick-Ass or Stardust or, you know, The Secret Service, which The Kingsman was based on. But the second one took all its fun spirit of like, oh, this is like those 60s spy romps that aren't totally spoofs, but they're definitely not serious either, like in like Flynn, and made something along those lines. The second one went, well, what if we just made it totally one of the Austin Powers sequels?
I enjoyed the second one, all
right. Some people did. I mean, it's not as bad as Goldmember, I'll tell you that.
God, no.
Yeah. But that being said, it did reasonably well in theaters, you know? I mean, not surprising as the first one was kind of a hit. But, you know, years later, here we are with the King's Man. Singular. I know, it's confusing.
One king and one man.
Where they're like, what if we left out the main character from the previous film and mainly made it about Ralph Fiennes?
Who's right on my top of my list of superheroes.
Well, I like Ralph Fiennes. Yeah. I wanted to see him kick some ass, but that wasn't this movie. I mean, this was taking place in 14 through 17?
This is a prequel. He is the guy who kind of founded the Kingsmen, which is a super cool spy organization that's independent of any one government agency and works on their own and uses cool gadgets, except none of that is in this movie.
Not at all.
No.
This is, of all things to follow up, but, you know, a fun comedy to overly goofy comedy to not even faintly a comedy.
Not faintly funny.
Is a weird call. We're reviewing The Kingsman. Joining me on this review is...
Hey, I'm Mars.
Harmony.
Sarah Jane.
Everyone sounds so thrilled.
Yeah.
We're just so we couldn't wait to get together and rip this one a new asshole like it thoroughly deserves. Oh my God. Like, I don't think anybody was like, you know what you should do with The Kingsman is a prequel without any of the other actors.
Nobody make it funny.
Nobody was saying that. No. And yeah, take all the humor out of it entirely. Take all the spy craft out of it entirely and the cool gadgets. Yeah. You know, make it kind of sad.
This movie definitely didn't know what the heck it wanted to be. It's like, am I going to be a World War One drama? Do I want to be a Mark Miller-based comedy? You know, what is this?
Money grab.
Shameless. I mean, it's been sitting around for a while, too. It was supposed to come out a year and a half ago or something.
Yeah, it had a 2019 original release date and then got kicked like three or four times.
But I wonder why.
Rafe finds, when we meet him, his most important thing is he's a family man and a dad. And we see his wife gets killed accidentally.
On purpose.
Well, they were aiming for someone else. Somebody shot her. Oh, yeah. They were aiming for someone else, though. And you know, the son witnessed it. Then it's like, okay, older. And the wife's last word was protect the son no matter what. So Conrad, the son played by Harris Dickinson, is now a young man and World War One is getting moving. And he's like, I want to go fight. I don't want anyone to think that I'm a coward. And he's like, you absolutely cannot. You are going to stay here. And it's very frustrating for both of them because dad doesn't want to get into the reasoning why. And the son is like, every other boy my age is going in to fight.
The charm of Downton Abbey and meld it with the dourness of Downton Abbey and then add guns is basically what happened.
Jim Arterton plays Polly, who is one of the household staff, but we see right off the bat that she has some kind of power over Ralph Fiennes because he's like, come here, how dare you talk to me? And 20 seconds later, he's like,
He loves her.
Yeah. And then there's Jamon Hansu, who we even see in the opening sequence, who's like, you know, another sort of multi-purpose household servant type person who also has like a very straight up equals and friends relationship with the lead character. We see also has relationships with various military types, even though he himself is not in the military, most notably Charles Dance for maybe the first time in his career not playing a mustache twirling villain.
He did have a mustache though.
Yes, he did.
Because it was World War One.
This film has got some mustaches.
Mustache of authority going on in this movie.
Into mustaches, this film is mustache porn, pretty much. The biggest problem comes, and it takes forever. The son figured out a way to join the military anyway. That's about the halfway point. Before that, we get a little bit with that's really goofy with Rasputin, with the grossest Rasputin you've ever seen.
You watch the first two, and you know it's based on a Mark Miller comic, and you can see his kind of body, tawdry kind of humor throughout them.
Yeah.
And this one had just kind of like three or four instances throughout the entire movie, one of the main ones being with Rasputin. It's just like, What?
Yeah, with Reese Ifans unrecognizably playing him, and then presumably some other person doing him in an action scene, because Reese Ifans isn't known for being able to do incredibly fast-moving action scenes that are a crossover between martial arts and Russian dancing.
Honestly,
that was actually the only thing I liked in this movie.
Only thing I was like, that's the best part of the movie right there.
But he does like thigh licking, and it's weird. I don't know.
If maybe you had that joke in the first or the second one, it would have fit with this one? Not at all.
Well, it's very confusing because either there's something to this guy or he's a complete fraud, right? Mm-hmm. And the movie just shrugs and goes, it's both, I guess, maybe? And it doesn't make any sense in the context of things.
It wasn't even just thigh licking, it was wound licking.
Yeah, wound healing.
Like, scarred over
bullet wound,
and filthy.
Yeah, there's an undercurrent of sexuality going on here that is toyed with in a very sort of nauseating way. You're like, ugh.
Side note, Rasputin's dick is on display at a museum.
I've heard that.
And it is like 13 inches and impressive. So maybe he was a sexy freak. Nobody knows.
I guess he was a shower.
Yeah.
As it were.
But he was a weird guy.
But I can't get too much past what happens in the second act without there being major spoilers. But suffice it to say, there is a reverse of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. There's like a League of Extraordinary Villains, but instead of being based on fictional characters, they're based on real life people. That there's some sort of mastermind living on a top of a, I don't know which, it's not a mountain. I don't even know what you call that kind of structure. Like just one
plateau.
Yeah, plateau.
It looks kind of like the rock formation from Close Encounters.
Yes. Sort of like Devil's Tower. Okay. Yeah. But he's at the top of that and has a bunch of crazy rare goats, and you don't see his face till the very end because you're like, okay, this must be someone else in the film, which literally 3 seconds after seeing that character appear in the film, you're like, that's him.
Who's that guy?
He's like plotting against all these countries to get them to start World War One. So it toy goes in and out. Like there's the assassination of Duke Ferdinand, and there's the assassination of Rasputin, and there's like, you know, all these things that happened. But they're like, but what if the Kingsmen were involved in the thing that happened and that aren't the Kingsmen yet? Which could have been clever.
It wasn't. It made my head hurt. What a mess this movie is. Trying to weave all this stuff together. And World War One's already just fascinating on its own.
It was 1917 for a minute in this movie.
But still, the start of it is like literally a family feud that like took over the whole world. And that's like far more interesting than this movie was. That I could follow. It was like, okay, they all hate each other. They all want power. But let's throw in...
Scottish Independence?
Yeah, Scottish Independence, which had nothing to do with World War One. And like we had a British/Scottish person there at the screening who was like, I know you guys don't understand this, but that was really offensive.
No, I'm offended that this movie exists. So no, I get it.
It's certainly not good.
It's not good.
And it makes a lot of decisions that are just like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Does it really slowly, too? Like, the pacing is just snail's pace.
Not funny.
It felt every inch of however long it was.
Most of the time it's not even trying to be funny. When it is, it's like,
It's awful. Yeah, it's just awful.
There's a bunch of character actors you know in this. Matthew Good, Tom Hollander plays all three of the relevant kings. He plays King George, Kaiser Wilhelm, and Tsar Nicholas, which could have been funny.
It's not funny at all.
They don't even try to make. Yeah, exactly. Like, why was that a thing? Daniel Brühl plays like one of the guys who's working for the secret evil organization who whispers in the ear of the Kaiser, and he's given almost nothing to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's Daniel Brühl. He's kind of turning into a big guy. And then even more inexplicably later in the film, Aaron Taylor Johnson shows up out of nowhere, who's a relatively big name. You realize at the very end, he is literally only in this film in case they get a World War II film next.
Yes. Don't stick around for the tag. It's not worth it. Yeah.
Stanley Tucci has a role where who he was.
Stanley Tucci in this movie?
Yeah, he was in The Stinger.
Yeah, he's like a United States guy who works for the president.
Okay. I think my brain shut down at that point because this is so bad.
He doesn't talk much, and they've got him in like a gigantic fake mustache, so it's kind of hard to pick him out.
I mean, literally, like, everyone has a gigantic mustache. Yeah, I think even Mata Hari had a fake mustache at one point.
Was supposed to be Mata Hari. Oh my god!
What?
That's the girl with the film and everything. Yeah,
one of the extraordinary villains.
Now I'm mad because
I'm really mad.
I'm so mad.
There's just no joy to be found anywhere in this whole film. I think towards the very, very end, there's one sequence that you're like, this could have been so cool. You approached this being a really cool action scene. You almost got there. And then it just turned really predictable and dumb. You're like, how is this the same guy who made the first Kingsman or Stardust or Kick-Ass or any number of other movies that I think are pretty damn good? Because this does not feel like a guy who's made a film before.
Like, can I have the movie the trailers were selling me?
Yeah, I know, exactly. I would have liked that.
I was so excited to sign up for this one. I'm like, Ralph Fiennes, I love him.
Yeah.
I want to see him kick some ass. He just doesn't.
I'm stupider for seeing this movie. Yeah. That's like all of my history stuff is just gone.
I feel like I should be able to sue someone, right?
I feel like somebody's in trouble. Like, I feel like they should be pointing fingers and, you know, maybe actually shoot each other. I'm not sure.
Matthew Vaughn has to go to the naughty stool.
I mean, all I can guess is because they've assembled this group of reasonably good actors here to be this new version of the Kingsmen. And it's a soft reboot, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, well, we couldn't get any of the people who were in the last ones. So instead, we're just cast a whole new group of people and just change the time period. It's just so sleazy almost, you know?
It felt gross. The whole movie kind of felt gross. Yeah. It was just like there was nothing really redeeming. Like, I don't feel for any of these characters. There's nothing here.
Yeah. It's like, please go to war.
Yeah, no, go.
I really enjoy bad movies, and I'm not sure if I really consider this to be that kind of bad movie.
It's not so bad as good.
Yeah.
It's not as fun, bad.
Yeah, like, there's movies that make deliciously awful decisions, and this is just dull.
I don't normally check my watch when I'm watching a movie, this one I was checking my watch of like, so how far are we in now? How far do I have to go?
Yeah. I think we were all restless because we were almost the only ones in the theater.
Yeah. We were kind of moving. Like, and this was like the press screening too. And there was nobody there. There like, no.
Everyone was shuffling about and kind of politely...
Yeah, all the comedy scenes.
Yeah, the moments of the characters like almost look at the screen like in Top Secret, you know. Yeah.
I looked over a couple times at you guys because I was on the end, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I looked at my friend Martin at one point and was just like, it's not just me, right? This is fucking awful. He's like, it's not just you.
And there was like one part where I actually jumped, but that was because it was loud and the sound scared me, not because I was surprised at what happened. Yeah, like
sure. No. Let's go to final thoughts. Harmony, why don't you get us started? It's the final thoughts. It's the last time you ever have to talk about this movie.
Please don't go see this movie. I'm begging y'all not to go see this movie. I've seen some bad movies for your site, Chris. But I've seen some bad movies.
You can't pin that on me.
I know. I've seen some bad movies in my life, and this was truly disappointing. It was silent, where you would think people should be like cheering or laughing or something, some sort of emotional reaction to what they were seeing on the screen, and there was nothing.
Just crickets.
Yeah, literally crickets. I would prefer crickets.
Even the crickets.
Crickets, it's cold. There's no crickets. There's nothing to this movie. I don't even have a quip for this. Like, dude, I'm going to give it like 1 out of 10. Yeah, the costumes were okay.
Okay, you're doing
the costumes were nice.
You got this sort of Marlon Brando and the Godfather thing.
I mean, somebody put me out of my misery. Like, this is terrible.
Mars, what about you?
Oh, gosh. It was slow. Didn't know what the heck it was. Its attempts at humor were really horrible. For me, it didn't even have a lot of redeeming kind of action scenes. It had a couple that were pretty fun and energetic and fun to watch, but it's not enough to actually redeem the entire movie.
Hmm.
For production design and those two or three little fun fights, I give it 2 sword guns out of 10.
Oof. What about you, Sarah?
I love Tom Hollander. Like, I love him. And when he appeared on the screen, even though he, for the first time, he's got mustachioed, and I knew it was him because he's tiny. He's, like, literally, like, 5'4", 5'2", I don't know. So I love him. I felt like he was just walking through all of his parts. He was trying with what he had, but I feel like he didn't even want to be there. And again, it didn't give me the movie that the trailer sold me, and I guess that's on me for expecting it. I don't know.
Shame on me.
I don't know. It wasn't the Ralph Fiennes kick-ass movie that I thought it was. And if that's what you think it's going to be, when does this movie come out?
Right before Christmas.
Should it come out at this point? It's not too late.
It's not too late. Well, stop it.
I figure it's going to be buried by Spider-Man. So yeah.
It's December 22nd.
Go see something else. I'm going to give this... I'm going to be a little bit more generous than you guys. I'm going to give it 4 Tom Hollanders out of 10.
How many Hollanders were there, though?
3.
3, exactly.
Just give it a 3.
Yeah.
It actually drops the same day as Matrix Resurrections.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder which will do better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we still don't know if that's any good. We might see that and go, oh, no.
Yeah. We know Spider-Man's any good. Like, is there any hope at all for Christmas?
The only thing I know for sure about Matrix Resurrections is it's going to sell the fuck out of the Unreal 5 engine. But other than that, I really don't know much.
Don't go see this movie. Don't do it.
Don't go see this. This is just awful. It's terrible. It's not fun. It's not funny. There's like 5 seconds of good action in this movie during the scene with the Russian dance / martial arts. And it's like, okay, that was kind of cool, but it's over very quickly. And then that's it. There's nothing else here that's really going to make you go, oh, wow. I was glad to have seen that.
Yeah.
The trailer's got anything that's even faintly of note in it. And it looks like it's going to be a lot cooler than it is. I promise you. It's not good. Save your brain. Save your hours of your day. Do not see The Kingsman. Don't send a message to them by seeing it that we want to see another one in World War II, teases. No, we don't. We do not.
No.
We do not want another one. They must be punished for this crime. We need a real-life Kingsman to take down the Kingsman. Some sort of secret critic spy organization that keeps them from making horrible movies like this.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Right?
Let's do it.
Just take the cat and put him on the shelf exactly by the picture of the cat, and then the movie shelf swings inward to the secret cave downstairs.
Which cat?
Any cat. It doesn't matter. They'll take down the bookshelf on their own. Anyway, yes, I hated this. This is terrible. I'm not even, I know that our rating system is by its nature. We make fun of it by using silly things in it because the idea of attaching a number to art is absurd, but we all do it. But in this case, I'm just going to give this a fuck you out of go to hell.
Oh, wow. Well played, Chris.
This is just awful and don't see it. And fuck everyone involved.